Welcome to Zikru Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avraham Goldar, and today we're Zakas Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Nun Hey, the ninth parak, Mishnah Meis. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara asks, Kat me emasai moch benichse aviv. From when can a youth who is unfamiliar with commerce sell his late father's properties? The Rashbam adds, this refers to land, but metalting may even be sold by a 6 or 7-year-old. Rabbi quoted Rav Nachman saying he must be 18 years old. But Rav Huna Bar Chinina quoted Rav Nachman saying he must be 20. Either way, he must physically be an adult, which was the subject of the examination of the youth who died after selling his father's property. Even a 20-year-old without simanim is halachically a katan, unless he shows other symptoms of asaris. The Gemara quotes Machlokas if toch zman, during the time of the 18th or 20th year, respectively, is Kalif Nezman, like before the required time, or Kalach Rizman, like after the time. The next stuff concludes that only a 20-year-old can sell inherited property and not during the 20th year. Rabbi ruled that a 14-year-old girl who was Yodas B'tiv Masu Matan, knowledgeable in the nature of commerce, could sell inherited property, and the same applies to a 12-year-old as well as an adult boy. Point number two, Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua says, La'edus edusa edus. Regarding testimony, the testimony of a youth who is not old or knowledgeable enough to sell property is valid edus. Marzutra says this only applies to metalton, which he can sell, but regarding real estate, which he cannot sell, his edus is also not accepted. Ravashi asks Marzutra why his testimony is accepted from metalton. If it's because he's able to sell them, then he should also validate the testimony of children 6 or 7 years old who are able to sell metalton. Marzutra responded, Hasan be'ina ba'amdushnei anashim v'leika. There, we require, and the two men shall stand and testify, and minors are not men. But any adult can testify about items which he can sell. And point number three, Omeimar says, U'matna so matana, and the gift of a youth giving away inherited property is a valid gift. Ravashi asked him that since if he sells property and receives money, the sale is invalid, Dilma Mozi Mazabin, because perhaps he'll discount it and sell it for less than its full value, then certainly his gift should be void since he received nothing. Amemar responded that if Ravashi's reasoning was correct, then if a youth sold land for a profit, the sale should be valid, and it's not. Rather, the rabbis knew that a youth's mind is drawn to coins. Therefore, if his sales would be valid, people would sometimes jingle coins in front of him, and he would sell all his father's property, so they disqualified his sales. However, he would not give someone a gift unless he received some benefit from him. Therefore, the rabbi said his gift should be valid, so the people will do things for him. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The Gemara asks, Kat me'emasai mocha b'nichse aviv. From when can a youth who is unfamiliar with commerce sell his late father's properties? The Rashbam adds, this refers to land, but metalton may even be sold by a 6 or 7-year-old. Rabbi quoted Rav Nachman saying he must be 18 years old. But Rav Huna Bar Chinina quoted Rav Nachman saying he must be 20. Either way, he must physically be an adult, which was the subject of the examination of the youth who died after selling his father's property. Even a 20-year-old without simanim is halachically a katan, unless he shows other symptoms of asaris. The Gemara quotes Machlokas if toch zman, during the time of the 18th or 20th year, respectively, is Kalif Nezman, like before the required time, or Kalach Rizman, like after the time. The next stuff concludes that only a 20-year-old can sell inherited property and not during the 20th year. Rabbi ruled that a 14-year-old girl who was Yodas B'tiv Masu Matan, knowledgeable in the nature of commerce, could sell inherited property, and the same applies to a 12-year-old as well as an adult boy. Point number two, Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua says, La'edus edusa edus. Regarding testimony, the testimony of a youth who is not old or knowledgeable enough to sell property is valid edus. Marzutra says this only applies to metalton, which he can sell, but regarding real estate, which he cannot sell, his edus is also not accepted. Ravashi asks Marzutra why his testimony is accepted from metalton. If it's because he's able to sell them, then he should also validate the testimony of children 6 or 7 years old who are able to sell metalton. Marzutra responded, Hasan be'ina ba'amdushnei anashim v'leika. There, we require, and the two men shall stand and testify, and minors are not men. But any adult can testify about items which he can sell. And point number three, Omeimar says, U'matna so matana, and the gift of a youth giving away inherited property is a valid gift. Ravashi asks him that since if he sells property and receives money, the sale is invalid, Dilma Mozi Mazabin, because perhaps he'll discount it and sell it for less than its full value, then certainly his gift should be void since he received nothing. Amemar responded that if Ravashi's reasoning was correct, then if a youth sold land for a profit, the sale should be valid, and it's not. Rather, the rabbis knew Dionok Makarvi Daita Gabizuze, that a youth's mind is drawn to coins. Therefore, if his sales would be valid, people would sometimes jingle coins in front of him, and he would sell all his father's property, so they disqualified his sales. However, he would not give someone a gift unless he received some benefit from it. Therefore, the rabbi said his gift should be valid, de la vida lemigli, so the people will do things for him. All right, so now we go to our Simmer Daf Kufnun Hey, and our standard Simmer is a Kana, a reed. So here goes. When the young man celebrated his 20th birthday by selling his inherited field of reeds, his younger brother, who was only believed to testify about the sale of the reed flute, but not the field, gave his portion of the field as a gift to the man who did him favors. Once again, slow motion. When the young man celebrated his 20th birthday by selling his inherited field of reeds, that must be on Daf Kufnun Hey, Kana, reed. When the young man celebrated his 20th birthday by selling his inherited field of reeds, which reminds the Gemara asks, from when can a youth who is unfamiliar with business sell his late father's properties? The Rashbam adds, this refers to land, but metaltalin may even be sold by a 6 or 7-year-old. Rava quoted Rav Nachman saying he must be 18 years old, but Rav Huna Bar Chinina quoted Rav Nachman saying he must be 20. Either way, he must physically be an adult, which was the subject of the examination of the youth who died after selling his father's property. Even a 20-year-old without simanim is halachically a katan unless he shows other symptoms of asaris. The Gemara brings a machlokas if it's within his 20th year or after his 20th year. So when the young man celebrated his 20th birthday by selling his inherited field of reeds, his younger brother, who is only believed to testify about the sale of the reed flute, but not the field, which reminds us, Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua says, "L'edus eduso edus." Regarding edus, the testimony of a youth who is not old or knowledgeable enough to sell property is valid testimony. Marzutra says this only applies to metaltalin, which he can sell, but regarding real estate, which he cannot sell, his edus is also not accepted. So, when the young man celebrated his 20th birthday by selling his inherited field of reeds, his younger brother, who was only believed to testify about the sale of the reed flute, but not the field, gave his portion of the field as a gift to the man who did him favors, which reminds us, a Amemar says, "Umatnasu matana," and the gift of a youth giving away inherited property is a valid gift. He would not give someone a gift unless he received some benefit from him. Therefore, the rabbi said his gift should be valid, so people would do things for him. So once again, when the young man celebrated his 20th birthday by selling his inherited field of reeds, his younger brother, who was only believed to testify about the sale of the reed flute, but not the field, gave his portion of the field as a gift to the man who did him favors. All right, so now it's time for 4 Blabach Hazara. Daf Kuf Nun Aleph. So the simmer Daf Kuf Nun Aleph is a kanai, a zealot, or a zealot with a spear. So here goes. When the Shemira mother, who wrote all of her possessions to one son, and then retracted and gave it to his more zealous brother, that must be Daf Kuf Nun Aleph, kanai, zealot. When the Shemira mother, who wrote all her possessions to one son, and then retracted and gave it to his more zealous brother before she died, which reminds us, Rami Bar Chama's mother, who was a Shemira, wrote all her possessions to him in the evening. But in the morning, she changed her mind and wrote them to her son, Rav Ukva Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama came before Rav Sheshes, who established him as the owner of the property, but Rav Ukva Bar Chama came before Rav Nachman, who established him as the rightful owner. Rav Sheshes protested to Rav Nachman that since the mother died and didn't recover, her retraction should be ineffective. Rav Nachman responded that Shmuel said, Koshiyu Amud Choser, anyone who, if he recovers, can retract, Choser b'matnaso, can retract from his gift, even if he does not recover, and that Shmuel explicitly said that a Shemira can retract ben la'atzmo ben la'acherim, whether it's for himself or for someone else. So when the Shemira mother, who wrote all of her possessions to one son, and then retracted and gave it to his more zealous brother before she died, and did so without his making a kinyan, since Divrei Shemira k'ksuvim k'msurim damu, which reminds us, Rav Nachman taught, Divrei Shemira k'ksuvim k'msurim damu, the words of a Shemira are considered like they are written and handed over to the recipient even without making a kinyan. So when the Shemira mother, who wrote all of her possessions to one son, and then retracted and gave it to his more zealous brother before she died, and did so without his making a kinyan, since Divrei Shemira k'ksuvim k'msurim damu, the first son became zealous and insisted his sister, who repeatedly retracted on giving a gift, leave some property to herself, which still didn't work, because one can still retract in the case of mitzava machmas misa, which reminds us, Rav Dimi's sister, who was ill, gifted her orchard to Rav Dimi. Since she had retracted several times before, Rav Dimi designed the gift in a way she could not retract by having her retain a portion and by making a kinyan. Still, Rav Nachman required him to return it because Adim heard her bemoaning her impending death. Clearly, she was instructed to give away her property because she thought she would die. Umitzava machmas misa chozer. And anyone who explicitly instructs because of an impending death can retract. Daf Kuf Nun Beis. So the Simmer Daf Kuf Nun Beis is a bank or a banker. So here goes. The two bankers. Bankers? That must be on Daf Kuf Nun Beis. The two bankers who rode in on two horses to help the Shechimera with his estate and argued whether the kinyan done in the Matna Shechimera was to give it both the power of a Matna Shechimera and also a regular gift, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses a Matna Shechimera, Shekasuba Kinyan, the gift of a Shechimera with a kinyan written into it, where they performed a kinyan suda on the gift when it was not required. Rav says he has made it ride on two steeds, but Shmuel says, I don't know how to judge such a gift. Rav holds that the Shechimera's purpose in making a kinyan for his gift was to give it both the power of a matna Shechimera and of an ordinary gift. It's like an ordinary gift in that he cannot retract upon recovering, and it's like a matna Shechimera that it has the ability to transfer alone. So the two bankers who rode in on two horses to help the Shechimera with his estate and argued whether the kinyan done in the Matna Shechimera was to give it both the power of Matna Shechimera and also a regular gift, or whether that would only work if he specified that he was giving more power, which reminds us, if a Shechimera said, Kisvu tenu mana l'poni, write a star and give a mana to poni and died, Rav ruled that we do not write it and give it because perhaps he only intended to give it with a star, which is not effective after his death. Shmuel ruled that the gift should be written and given because in this case, it was miyafes kocho. He was enhancing the recipient's power with the kinyan by explicitly saying so. So the two bankers who rode in on two horses to help the Shechimera with his estate and argued whether the kinyan done in the Matna Shechimera was to give it both the power of a Matna Shechimera and also a regular gift, or whether that would only work if he specified that he was giving more power, were frustrated when they found out that the Shechimera had written and given the same gift to two people, which reminds us, Gemara brings another machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. If a Shechimera wrote away his property to someone and gave him the shtar recording the gift, and then did the same for someone else, Rav says the first recipient acquires it, and Shmuel says the second recipient acquires it. Rav's ruling reflects his opinion that making a kinyan for the gift is meant to give it the power of a matnas bari. He holds giving over the shtar has the same effect, so he can no longer retract. Shmuel's ruling reflects his opinion that this remains a standard matna Shechimera, and he can retract from it. Daf Kuf Nun Gimel. So the Simmer Daf Kuf Nun Gimel is a king. So here goes. The king, that must be Daf Kuf Nun Gimel. The king who was dying and had a scribe write a star, which include the words B'chaim Ubamaves, which reminds us there was a star written by a Shechimera, which stated B'chaim Ubamaves, I give you this gift in life and in death. Rav said it's considered a matna Shechimera because since he wrote B'maves, he's saying it should take effect after his death. The mention of B'chaim in the shtar was merely a simon ba'alma d'chaya, an omen that he should live, meaning since he mentioned his impending death, he added a hopeful mention of living. Shmuel says it's considered a matnas bari because since he wrote B'chaim, he's saying it should take effect during his lifetime. The mention of B'maves was like one saying the gift should be yours from now and forever, meaning even after he dies. So the king who was dying and had his scribe write a shtar, which included the words B'chaim Ubamaves, was so shocked when after he got better and retracted, the recipient came to his court claiming it was given when the king was healthy, which reminds us, a braisa discusses a gift where the giver and recipients dispute if he was a Shechimera or a Bari when he gave it, and whether he can now retract. Rabbi Yaakov says the benefactor can take back the property without proving he was a Shechimera, but the recipients must prove he was a Bari to take the property. He follows the chazaka of the property, which was originally the giver's. Rabbi Nassan says that if he's currently a Bari, he must prove he was a Shechimera then. If he's currently a Shechimera, they must prove he was a Bari. Rabbi Nassan follows the current status. So the king who was dying and had his scribe write a shtar, which included the words B'chaim Ubamaves, was so shocked when after he got better and retracted, the recipient came to his court claiming it was given when the king was healthy, that he had his guards take the man down to an enclosed valley that was a Rishusa Rabim regarding Tum in the summer and Rishusa Yachid in the rainy season, which reminds us, a Mishnah says about Abika, a valley of grain fields, that during the summer, if it's enclosed, it's a Rishus Yachid regarding laws of Shabbos, but it's a Rishus of Rabim regarding questions of Tumah, and cases of doubtful Tumah are Rul Tameh. Since people enter the field during the harvest season, it's not secluded. However, during the rainy season, when produce is growing and people do not enter the field, it's a Rishus Yachid for Tumah as well. Daf Kuf Nun Dod. So the Simmer Daf Kuf Nun Dod is a candy man. So here goes. The man looking for Adim to verify his star from the Candyman, that must be on Daf Kuf Nun Dalet. The man looking for Adim to verify his star from the Candyman, gifting him a stash of candy, so the Candyman's claim that it was a Matna Shechimera could be ignored, which reminds us, in the Mishnah Daf Kuf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, where a gift was given and a dispute arose if the giver was a Shechimera at the time, Ramirez says the giver must prove he was a Shechimera, And the Chachamim say the recipients must prove he was a Bari to take the property. Amoraim dispute what proof the Mishnah means. Rav Huna says Rai be'edim, proof with edim that he was a Shechimira at the time. He explains that these Tanaim parallel the Machokas quote on the previous daf, whether we assume he was healthy then, if he's healthy now, or we follow the property's Chazaka. Other Amoraim say Rai be'kim ashtar, the Chachamim mean proof through certifying the document. So the man looking for edim to verify his shtar from the candyman gifted him a stash of candy, so the candyman's claim that it was a matna shchimira could be ignored. Found a man insisting that his relative who sold the property was only a katan sucking on a lollipop at the time of the sale, which reminds us, someone once sold his late father's property and died, but his relatives claimed he died as a katan and the sale was invalid. They asked Rabbi Akiva, Mahu Abotko, what about examining his body to determine if he was a gadol? He responded, Yatam Rishaimu Navu, you are not permitted to disgrace the body by examining it. Furthermore, simanim of maturity tend to change after death, so the examination would prove nothing. So the man looking for edim to verify his shtar from the candyman, gifting him a stash of candy so the candyman's claim that it was a matna shchimira could be ignored, found a man insisting that his relative who sold the property was only a katan sucking on a lollipop at the time of the sale, and another man admitting that he wrote a shtar giving away property, but it was a shtar pasim, who wasn't believed, which reminds us, the Mishnah Bar Kabar states that if a field's previous owner challenged someone occupying it, and the occupant presented a shtar that he acquired it, then if the previous owner admits the shtar was not forged, but says it's a shtar pasim, a fake document to falsely make the holder appear wealthy, or a shtar amana, a document of trust, where the buyer was trusted to pay for the land but did not, voiding the sale, then if edim do not corroborate his claim, we follow the shtar. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which daf do we know that the definition of karka koshu retained by a shchimera, according to Rav, is enough to support oneself? That's on daf kufmem test. Good number two, which daf do you discuss what the din is with the shtar in which it was written b'chaim ubamavis, in life and in death? That's on daf kuf nun gimel. Good number three, which daf do discuss what the din is if the former owner challenges a shtar saying it's a shtar pasim or shtar amana? That's on daf kuf nun dal. Good number four, which daf do know that the edus of someone too young to sell property is still valid with regards to metaltolin? That's on daf kuf nun hey. Good number five, which daf do the case of a matna shchimira with a kinyan written into it where they performed a kinyan suda on the gift when it wasn't required? That's on daf Kufnum Beis. Good number six, which daf do we have machokas regarding the minimum requirement of reishis hageiz? That's on daf Kufnun. Good number seven, which daf do we discuss what is the minimum age to sell inherited property? That's on daf Kufnun Hey. Good number eight, which daf do the case of Miyapes Kocho, where the Shchimira was enhancing the recipient's power with the kinyan by explicitly saying so? That's on daf Kufnum Beis. Good number nine, which daf do the case of someone who sold property and died and his relatives claim he was a katan at the time? That's on daf Kufnun Dod. Good number 10, which daf do we learn that the gift of a youth giving away inherited property is a valid gift? That's on daf Kufnun Hey. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Ram Goldar from Zichur, wishing you a great day and great learning.